on 882 6PR. This is Darren DeMello.
And we're here with Dr. Mel Criddle from Swanbourne Veterinary Centre as we talk animals, anything pet and animal related here. 9221882, the number if you've got a question. Or you can send us a text too on 19999677. Carl in Canningvale, hello.
Yeah, hi there. I just heard the vet. I'm just trying to ask the question as to, I've got a rescue dog that I had and I've taken over. She's about 4 years old, as we've been told. She's a Kelpie Rottweiler cross.
Yeah.
Now, I take her to the vet to try to get the nails, and I'm trying to get the nails cut.
Mm-hmm.
She just goes, she's just absolutely traumatic for her.
Yeah.
She just, I'm just wondering, I've even had a doctor come to the house.
Yeah.
And do that, and she's just because of her past, she was actually caged and bred. She was actually caged and bred.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
she just, you know, I'm just if I can give her a pill or something just to calm her down, so I can cut her nails or whatever.
Yeah, absolutely, Carl. This is something we've certainly encountered. There's some dogs that just absolutely either hate their nails being touched or their feet being touched or being strained or, you know, and certainly with the rescue dogs and sort of, you know, I guess in some respects a bit of an unknown history or, you know, what exactly they've encountered.
Correct.
These sorts of anxieties are really common. I would say to you is, it sounds to me like I think it's only going to be more traumatic for you and for her and for the staff at the vet to continue down this path of, you know, trying to restrain her. We generally would perhaps be suggesting that it might be a lot easier for everybody to give her a little sedation. Now, whether or not that's something that you certainly can give orally, however, in my experience, I sometimes find these highly anxious dogs can still fight that. We've got dogs similar to, you know, the sound of yours that will come in. I'll give them a little sedation just as an injection. We'll do their nails. We'll, you know, clean their ears, check them over, make it, you know, they're sound asleep for it. Not completely anaesthetised, just sedated and relaxed. We get the job done and then we wake them up.
The vet that came to the house did try to give it, she was
a sedation.
Just running all over the house.
I must say, sometimes it's a lot easier in a clinic environment with, you know, well-trained nurses. We've got little ways of being able to, you know, restrain them. And I must say, in my experience, sometimes home visits certainly can go a little bit pear-shaped if you, you know, in the house.
I disagree with going to the vet because I've taken to the vet, a couple of vets.
Yeah.
And she's even run off the chain and run down the street.
Goodness.
Now, talking about a guy before talked about cleaning ears.
Yeah.
I had a very traumatic experience with my past Kelpie dog.
Yeah.
And he just went to get his ears cleaned, a perfectly normal running dog.
Yeah.
Went there to get his ears cleaned.
You make it sound like a car, a perfectly normal running dog.
No, it's a run. He's a run, man.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Kelpie's a run, you know.
Yeah.
And I went and got the ears cleaned, just cleaned.
Yeah.
Cleaned, and he came back a paraplegic.
Oh.
Now, he couldn't eat. He couldn't do anything. He couldn't walk. And I eventually took him to Murdoch. Cost me $2,900.
Mm.
And the consultant asked me what I thought it was. I thought, going on the internet, that they actually pricked the membrane that leads to the brain when they're cleaning it. And the consultant did agree with me and said, I think that could have happened.
Mm.
And he was leaning to one side. He wouldn't eat. He couldn't walk. He couldn't talk. He couldn't.
Yeah.
It took me 5 months after taking Murdoch.
Mm.
And I was really, really annoyed. And I wanted to go and do some damage to them. Because going there, normal dog, and coming back like that, now I'm paranoid about taking my dog to get the ears cleaned.
And that's not something that you'd normally be so concerned, or you wouldn't think that that would be the kind of result from ears cleaned,
definitely
would you?
Not. And it's, but it's something, you know, those vestibular nerves, there's a lot of cranial nerves that sort of run around the ear, and I guess it's always something that, you know, I'm very careful of when we are doing an ear clean, and especially, you know, under sedation, you have the ability to be able to generally see the eardrum or see it not there. He's very careful, and we use products that try not to do harm. But I guess in that environment with a sort of a syringing out of an ear clean, there's potential for that to happen. So we're always careful. I guess I come back to, you know, advice given to clients. And it comes to that previous caller, I definitely would be suggesting a vet check, just a scope with the otoscope in a consult and being able to visualise the ear canal, because if the eardrum is intact, no foreign body, and you're using over-the-counter cleaning products in that environment where you've had the ear checked and things are okay, then you can't really get to that harm of right. severe neurological signs. So I'd always, at least a vet check of those ears, but I know, you know, we're always careful with ear cleans, because it can, you know, there's lots of important nerves run around the ear.
It's just an interesting warning, I guess.
Mm, yeah.
One, like I say, that, you know, you wouldn't necessarily expect.
No, and it's certainly not something. You know, in 16 years of practice, I've seen that happen once. So, yeah.
Pretty rare. Just unfortunate, Carl, that, you know, it happened to you.
I'm sorry to hear that. That's awful. Yeah.
Give us a buzz, 922-18. You've got a question. Dr. Mel Criddle's here from Swan Vet Centre and is happy to take your calls and dish out some advice. Maybe you can help me out when it... I mean, we don't have any pressing need for it right now, but are there secrets to get pills down cats?
I've seen funny. Have you seen those, like the how to pill a cat, and there's like 27 steps and involves, you know, going to the pub and having a beer and all the rest of it. And then with a dog, you just wrap it in bacon and give it to the dog.
Well, see, this is the thing. I mean, in the early days, oldest cat, we occasionally pop it into cheese.
Yep.
Or we could pop it into a bit of polony.
Yes.
But now it won't eat cheese or polony.
No.
In fact, it won't take treats at all because it's assuming that.
I know,
but
I know.
Even it was, you know, before it sort of decided, no, I'm not going to do those anymore. Mm-hmm. It would eat around things,
yeah.
And you know, you try and would you believe we, the one time that we tried Airbnb, we stayed in Adelaide,
yeah,
great place, but it came with a cat. We thought, oh, that's kind of nice. We get this great old cat Scuzzy that we had to the vet. It was having issues. It was growing up. No, just poor old cat. So then for the last couple of days that we were looking after this pet. Administer the tablets to this cat that I did, you know, worst thing in the world, because it didn't know me that well.
I know.
So, I mean, we got one of those...
pill poppers?
Which, look, it did help, but it was still a two-person operation.
Yeah, and look, I generally, you know, if I'm sending a client home to medicate their cat, I usually endeavour to show them in a consult how I do it. Now, I tend to... very well behaved in a consult, and then they give you a very hard time.
Well, and this is the thing, I watch it done by professionals, and it looks so much easier.
They test your methods of trained back at home.
Oh, they do, that's for sure.
They do, because you're more likely to let go, so they're calling your bluff. So I generally, get the cat seat, I put my hands behind the elbow, so almost like tuck the cat, so its tail's next to my tummy,
right,
facing away from me, and then, someone sort of holding legs. So that one person's in charge of dealing with the claws, the front claws, and then the other person who's administering the tablet, they've got the teeth.
Right.
So I then put my fingers behind those upper canines, those big teeth at the front of that top jaw, point their nose to the sky, and what generally happens is that little jaw will drop a little bit, and then as easy as you just quickly pop the tablet in.
You're actually suggesting, though, is that you're putting fingers into a cat's mouth.
Yeah, but that's... lots of cats are good. There's some really feisty ones, though. And
it's more the fact that I don't necessarily seem to get it in. When all of that's there, they'll get it. And if it doesn't go, it
can't. I know. And another one really is to rub the... got to put it at the back of the throat.
Rub the throat to make sure they swallow.
Yeah. Hold that jaw shut. And then, tickle there, or even, you know, just gently squeeze that larynx area to get them to swallow. Look, it is easier said than done. And they're always well behaved at the vets. And then you go home and you end up with all this mushy mess. So, look, if you're having difficulty, have a chat to your local vet. There's no options for getting things compounded into liquids or pastes that can sometimes be a bit easier to administer.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes a liquid is a bit easier. If there's any option, I will usually go for a longer acting injectable version of something if it's available for clients, rather than having to send them home with tablets. So work with your local vet, but I totally agree with you there.
Well, I'm glad it's not just me.
No, some of them are little rascals.
I'd like to know, to be honest, that you know, it's an issue for you on a regular basis.
And that's where we have towels and nurses.
Okay. In that case, I don't feel so bad. No. We'll take more of your calls here. Pet-related questions, anything at all, 922-1-2. Before, of course, Mel wanders off because Sue McDougall joins us from 2. So get him while you can, 922-1-882 or SMS 19999-677.
Perth Tonight with Chris Ilsley.
Chris, I thought I'd just follow up quickly your Wilson Parking story.
Yeah, it's just something Brendan raised with us.
Yeah, well, I think Brendan's very much on the money, mate. I hear people ring up about the parking at hospitals and stuff, so it sort of gives you an idea of when they talk about daily figures and stuff. An hour and 40 minutes, $24.
Mate, are you sure somebody wasn't standing over you with a sawn off and a balaclava?
Perth Tonight with Chris Eversley. Tonight from 8:30 on 882 6PR. Voice.
I think the best car
is. You should get a van.
Now listen, you need a four door.
You can't go wrong with a four wheel drive.
You've got to have dual sliding doors.
When it comes to cars, every man and his dog thinks they're an expert. But one thing, people in the know all agree, you can rely on the Hyundai iLoad to get the job done. It's the perfect employee. Tough, practical and working. That's what done. And right now, you can get the Hyundai iLoad with a $4,000 factory bonus. Talk to your Hyundai dealer today.
Ready. And one, two, three.
I washed my toes.
Sorry. Again. And one, two. Ow, ow, ow. If osteoarthritis pain has made you a bit rusty, choose Panadol Osteo. Its bilayer technology provides fast and long-lasting pain relief for up to 8 hours. Enough time to find your rhythm again.
Ouch.
Choose number one. Choose Panadol Osteo. Always read the label. Use only as directed. Incorrect use could be harmful. Consult your healthcare professional if symptoms persist.
Right now at Target, save $10 when you spend $60 or more on women's, men's, kids and baby clothing, sleepwear, underwear, footwear, accessories and homewares. But hurry, offer ends on the 26th of October. Now at Target. Conditions apply. See in store.
Rock pioneer Ian Anderson, the founder, flute and voice behind the legendary genre-defining Jethro Tull, returns to Australia this coming April. Together with his band, Anderson will bring to life the remarkable Tull catalogue. Don't miss Jethro Tull by Ian Anderson, live in Perth, Melbourne and Sydney this April. Go to livenation.com.au for all tour and ticket information. This year, Max Pelicano celebrates 25 years of Elvis to the Max. Elvis to the Max. The hit Las Vegas show with all your favourite Elvis songs is now one massive celebration. One show only, number 10 at Crown Theatre. Hurry, your tickets now at Ticketmaster. Come and celebrate the king of rock and roll with Elvis to the Max.
But it's all the money.
After a forklift that leads the way in quality, reliability and productivity, trade in and trade up at Toyota Material Handling. Toyota is the world's number one forklift brand. And right now, get a great trade-in deal when you upgrade any competitor forklift to one from Toyota's selected range. Plus a free StarCash card up to $5. For new and used forklift sales, rentals and servicing, call 1-800-425-438 or hit toyotamaterialhandling.com.au. Conditions apply. Friends, 31 December.
My success is inspiring my staff to achieve theirs. What's yours? Protect your business success with Vero Insurance. To learn more, go to vero.com.au/success or talk to a broker today. Insurer is Vero Insurance.
Until 3, you're listening to Darren DeMello on 6PR, the voice of Perth.
It's 12 to 2, and we are talking pet-related stuff here. We've got Dr. Mel Criddle, Swanbourne Vet Centre, Dr. To take your calls here, 9221 882 if you've got any questions, 19999 677 if you want to send us a text. Meantime, let's check the latest from the Bureau. Daryl Vick is the Bureau of Meteorology Duty Forecaster. Daryl, hello.
G'day, Darren. How's things?
Very well. Now, I know today's looking all right and all, but we're shaping up a pretty decent weekend. How are you all looking at this?
Pretty good. An all right weekend, as you said. That's a good summation of it all. Around 19.1 at the moment around the metro area, a bit short of our forecast max of 20, but fairly pleasant out there. Going in for a cold morning tomorrow morning of 6, getting to a max of 23, and then heating up for the weekend, getting up to 29 on Saturday and 28 on Sunday.
Ooh, a few people have been hanging out for that one to come for a while. And then is there rain on the horizon, or are we good for a bit, Daryl?
There's a little bit. There's a couple of weak frontal features coming through on Monday and Tuesday. Not sure if we'll get much out of it at all. Not a hell of a lot on the horizon.
All right, good to know. Thank you very much, Judy Forecaster there, Daryl Vink from the Bureau of Meteorology. 9221 882 as we head into the last little stretch here talking pets. Take advantage while you can with Dr. Mel Criddle. Kevin's on the line from Merangaroo. G'day.
Hi, Mel. How are you going?
Hi, Kevin.
I've got a dwarf mini lot.
Yeah.
I'm just chasing up. How much should you feed them in the day? Because it just feels like and out pops the other end.
Yeah.
I had a kid like that one.
24 hours a day. What are you feeding him, Kevin?
Well, I feed him. I was feeding him meal when I first started, but I've been warned away from giving him too much of that. So I gave him. I give him mainly.
Yep.
With the occasional carrot or carrot tops and that to give him some greenery, all the weeds in the garden, which seems to like.
Yep.
Plus water, but I'm just trying to work out the quantity because I give him a decent handful of hay, which is maybe two handfuls and that.
Yeah.
But he seems to manage to populate the entire bottom of his hutch in the day.
Yeah, no, that sounds
that's a lovely way of doing it too, by the way.
Yeah, Kevin, and I guess rabbits, they really require sort of, frequent eating to aid with their digestion. If they have any, they're quite prone to a condition called ileus, which is where the digestive process slows down and they can actually, you know, die from it. So we actually want them, they tend to be grazing animals and we do want them to eat, you know, sort of on a fairly regular basis. So just totally digressing. But when they come in for surgery, you know, the first thing we do when they wake up is give them food. So I guess certainly things like the pellets and that can be quite high sort of, you know, nutritional value or sort of calorie density, I suppose. So I'd be gauging if he's turning into a little, you know, overweight rabbit, then maybe we'd need to back off on that. But definitely I'd be having a constant supply of, you know, the hay that you've got. Make sure it's good quality hay from a good source so you haven't got issues with mites being introduced into the hutch. I would, carrots, vegetables, the grass and weeds and all that's fine. Just sometimes too much greenery can give them a bit of diarrhea, so be careful with that.
You can feed a rabbit too much greenery.
You can, yeah.
Didn't know that.
You can. They do get a bit of diarrhea if they have too much greens. So, you know, the carrots and those other vegetables are terrific. And then I sort of have a bowl of pellets out. So it's hard to sort of give you exact quantities, Kevin, but listening to you, if he's growing and putting on weight and he's not overweight and we've got one and out the other, it all totally normal to me.
He's nowhere near overweight or anything like that.
Yep.
There's no diarrhea in there. I just have the wet dry vacuum at the hand every morning.
Yeah.
around.
You very paint good. A pretty picture, I'll tell you now, Kev.
The other thing, just
I know,
and you know, they do eat the nighttime ones. They re-ingest that, so don't.
Do they?
Yeah.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Don't clean them up too quick.
Don't clean that up too quick because they will eat their nighttime stools. So
and that's all right.
That's totally normal. Rabbits need to do it to get the.
Well, I don't know about it being all right, but it's normal apparently.
It's totally normal. Their nighttime stool is different from their daytime stool, and they will eat it. Yeah. They'll eat it and to regain bacterial flora, and again it's good for their gut, so don't be too quick to clean it all up because
I just do it in the mornings if it's like a full coverage and you've got very little room to hop around.
That's absolutely fine. That sounds good,
right,
Kevin.
Awesome. Full coverage, that's right. Here's a phrase I never thought I would hear in reference to the bottom of a rabbit hutch. Good on you, Kevin. Glad we've been some help there, and you've been most enlightening. I've never had a rabbit, and that things you discover. And discover, too, that you can feed them weeds. That's okay.
You can do. I guess, a bit like dogs and cats as well, we need to be careful. Some of the plants you might have in your garden, you know, may cause tummies, vomiting, diarrhea, that sort of thing. But, most of the time they can forage around the garden. And,
there you go.
You know,
there's not many places that you can kind of shoehorn the weeds to. You know, not many pets you can shoehorn your weeds to.
No.
So that's quite useful. 9221882 if you've got a question. One from Ron here. 7-month-old male Rottweiler, only one testicle dropped. Been told must remove both. Is that correct or can retain outside testicle?
I would definitely be using sterilisation.
Yep.
So he, I guess, generally by 12 weeks, but I will always give them as much time as an owner wants to, but generally by 6 weeks. If we've only got one testicle, the dog is classified as a cryptorchid. So that testicle is likely to be either in the groin.
That's a phrase I've never heard before.
A cryptorchid, one testicled creature.
Right.
The testicle either be in the groin in the inguinal region or else it could well be up near the kidney, which is where it begins. Now, in either of those areas, a testicle is at a higher temperature than what it's designed to be at.
Right.
So we generally see higher instances of male behaviours. So a dog might be more aggressive, might be, pick fights and that sort of thing at the park, that sort of thing. But equally, that testicle at a high temperature has got a high risk of becoming cancerous.
Right.
So I would always be advising sterilisation. It is something that is potentially heritable, so not a good thing to be passing down the line either. So, to... question from Ron, I would definitely be advising sterilisation, and the vet, will need to go hunting unless they can feel with him under anaesthetic. If they can feel the testicle in that groin, they'll just make a little incision there, but otherwise we need to go into the tummy and have a look and find it.
I've seen that movie too, Good Ball. A question with that notice too, cats with, white-faced cats with a weepy tendency in their eyes, what's the best thing to wipe the eyes with?
You can use diluted Betadine solution, so not the Betadine that soaps up, not the scrubby one.
Right.
So
not
solution.
One that looks like yellow all over their face.
The solution is white, so it's good.
Didn't know that.
So you can just use a little bit of diluted Betadine solution, or just some water or something, just to gently bathe those eyes. I guess, is this your cat, Dan?
Yeah, it is my cat. All right.
I was just going to say that, have you checked out as to why they discharge.
I think he's actually got a dose of. They've said that it's cat flu.
Flu, because it can be.
It's not one that's going to go away.
That's a long-term sort of just bathing management solution. But things like blocked tear ducts will cause a bit of discharge. Lower eyelids that might roll in can cause a bit of discharge. So for other people out there, if their cat's got weepy eyes, it might be worth having them checked by the local vet. But for you, just gently bathing them. It is just
it's like the dog thing, people. Some things you're just blessed with.
I know, absolutely.
Milk Riddle, thank you so much for your time again.
My pleasure.
Always fun. You'll be in next week.
It'll be Dr. Tony
next
week.
Oh, Tony next week. That's right. There we go. Well, thank you again. And you can always get in contact with Swanbourne Vet Centre if you need any help. Cheers, Mel. Heading up on 2 o'clock. News not far.